Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 31. This week we are studying the book of Esther. Esther, it's one of my favorite stories and books in the Old Testament. It's one of only two books in the Old Testament that's named for a woman. And it's just an amazing example of the power of righteous women. And I'm sure these women were throughout the Old Testament, throughout all of history, obviously. We've got, you know, amazing righteous women now, and that I'm sure that's not unique to human history. For whatever reason, we don't have all their stories in the Old Testament. I'm so eager to find them out. To meet these people in a coming day and to be able to hear their stories. And Esther is just one example of one of these incredible accounts of what righteous women can do. So if you're unfamiliar with the story of Esther, please take the time to read and study about her. It's really, really quite great. And like I said, it's one of my favorite Old Testament stories. And that's saying something because I love the Old Testament. And there are many stories in there that are very dear to me. So just a little bit of background, we'll give you the story in a nutshell. So Esther was a Jew and she was living with the Persians. This is about 100 years after the Babylonian invasion of Jerusalem, where the Jews were taken into captivity. Now, Esther was an orphan. Her parents were dead and she had been taken into the care of her older cousin, Mordecai. The Persian king had dethroned his wife due to an offense that she had committed, and he was looking for a new queen. So Esther becomes eligible for this and is part of the, I guess, this group of potential suitors for the king, and she is chosen from out of many to become the new queen. However, she had not disclosed her Jewish heritage to the king, and I assume it was just... people believed that she was Persian or definitely not Jewish. So, but she becomes the queen and her Jewish heritage is secret. Mordecai, her cousin, uncovers a plan for someone to assassinate the king. And he ends up telling Esther about this. She tells the king and gives credit to Mordecai. So this earns Mordecai some clout in the king's inner circle. And he kind of gets promoted to a position of authority. Now, within this king's inner circle, the Haman has the highest ranking. He's the highest ranking official. And Haman seems to have a particular hatred for the Jews that are living among them. And he proposes a plan that they all be executed. He presents this plan to the king. The king agrees. And they set a date for the Jewish execution. The Jews obviously don't know about this plan. But they're about to find out. Now, Mordecai, because of his position in the king's inner circle, he finds out about this plan. Now, his heritage as a Jew is unknown as well. It's secret. So he tells Esther, and he says, we need to do something about this. Now, remember, Esther still hasn't told the king that she's a Jew. So he says, Esther, you got to go to the king and convince him to call off the plan. Now, the problem was you couldn't just go into the king and talk to him. Now, Esther was the queen, but it seems like things were a little different back then because she says to Mordecai, she says, I haven't been called in to see the king for 30 days. And you can't just walk in. If you do walk into the king's inner sanctum where he is and you're not invited, the penalty can be death. Now, the king can say, I'm not going to kill you, but he has every right to kill you due to the law. So she's in a bind because she has no invitation to go see the king, yet she needs to go see him to try to convince him to call off this Jewish execution. So Mordecai says to her in Esther 4, verses 13 and 14, it's one of my favorite scriptures. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth that whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the concept of identity and purpose and this idea that Esther was basically called and almost, you know, foreordained to be at this place at this time to be the savior of the Jewish people that were living in Persia. I love that. And I think that that's absolutely right. She was called to be at that time. So then Esther in verse 16 says to Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. She says, everybody fast for me, please, but I'm going to do my part. So she enlists the help of others, but she doesn't shirk her responsibility, which I love. Now we know the outcome. She, if you haven't studied, sorry, spoiler alert, but she does enter the king's presence without permission. He does not kill her. Eventually she reveals her Jewish heritage. He listens to her pleas and reverses his decision on the Jewish massacre. And he actually ends up executing Haman, the guy who came up with the idea, on the very gallows that Haman was going to use to hang Mordecai. And so I love the story of Esther. It's clearly a story of courage, but I also feel it's a story of personal responsibility, because Esther knew what she needed to do. She was uniquely positioned to be able to intervene on behalf of her people. And although she asked for their faith and prayer, she did not refuse her responsibility. And to me, there is a significant mental health application in this. So many times I hear about people who have mental health issues and they want to change, but they're frustrated with either what appears to be a long process of change or effort required on their part, and they're kind of stuck. Sometimes we feel like emotional issues should resolve quickly. I don't know why we think this, because big tasks take big effort and it takes a long time. You can use the example of losing weight. If you want to lose 1 pound, you could probably do that in a day. But if you want to lose 100 pounds, it's going to take months of consistent effort. And mental health is the same way. When we have significant mental health issues or patterns of behavior we have had for decades, it's going to take a long time and a lot of consistent effort to see change. Now, we wouldn't get frustrated with ourselves if we didn't lose 100 pounds in one day. We'd say, well, of course, this is going to take time. Please don't get frustrated with yourself when you're trying to change mental health issues that you've had for quite some time. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen with consistent effort. And the other thing is that change is not going to happen unless we do something about it. Esther's situation was not going to change unless she did something that was uncomfortable and difficult for her to do. And in most cases with mental health issues, it's the same thing. We have to do something uncomfortable, something we don't want to do. But with that effort, and if we do that consistently over time, we are going to see progress. The bottom line is that with all personal change, especially mental health improvement, change starts with you. Don't wait around for other people to change or for circumstances to change. If you want something to improve in your life, then figure out what it is and get moving forward. In almost every case, it's going to take courage, but as we learned from Esther, courage yields good results. So let's talk about the weekly invitation and just a general reminder about the weekly invitations. Please don't try to do all of them. It's too much. But think about the things that might apply to you in your particular situation, and then adopt that one, and then make an effort to do it over time. And it may take weeks and months of effort to start to see change. So here's this week's invitation. I want you to find a story in the scriptures other than Esther's story where someone used courage to confront a daunting task. Now, there are dozens of examples of these in scriptures. It shouldn't be too hard to find. So go find one. And I want you to study that story. Read the scriptures about it, maybe do some additional study and some of the things that church leaders have said about it. And then from your studies, I want you to identify one thing that you can do to improve your own courage, and then use that to move forward in a difficult task you face. I do have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement this week's and former week's invitations. To find out how to get these, sign up for my email newsletter. You can find the link in the show notes. And I also invite you to subscribe so you can easily access new episodes each week. And please share this podcast if you find it helpful. I also have a free anxiety management mini course I've developed and would love to give you a copy. In it, you can learn tried and true methods to decrease fear and increase peace. Go to the show notes and click the link for more information. And as always, thanks for listening. And until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.